Chapter 6, Off-Season 2009. He's expecting his mother to pick him up at the airport, but winning the cup apparently rates both parents. They take turns hugging him so tight he can hardly breathe, beaming their pride and happiness and love into him until he's full to the brim. "Welcome home," his mother says, eyes wet. "It's good to be back," Yadomir replies, with all his heart. There's a little get-together that night for extended family and neighborhood friends, people who've known him too long to be awed by him, but who know him well enough to wear his success on their sleeves as a badge. "Our Yarda, who won the cup?" When it's over, his cheeks are sore from smiling as he picks up the paper cups and plates, his father humming a hymn tune and wiping down the tables. His mother, of course, is already on the move. "So, Sydney," she prompts. Yadomir laughs. "Yes, he's coming. Mid-July. He'll be here for 2 weeks." "I know you have your apartment, but we'd love to have him stay here. He'd like that too." She nods, pleased. Then she pauses, tablecloth draped over her arm. "I'm guessing you'll be leaving a little early too, then?" Yadomir swallows. It feels like the summers get shorter and shorter as he gets older. Time's stolen from him, but from his parents, too. It's the right thing to do, to visit the kid in Canada, but he wishes he could do it without cutting short his time here. "Yeah," he confirms. "Good," his father says firmly. "You should be where you're needed." Yadomir takes a moment, hands full in the warm light of the kitchen, to appreciate the fact that the people who love him also deeply, completely understand him. There's nothing better. "Yes," he replies, quiet. "Thank you, Tata." He got a late start because of the cup, so he grits his teeth the next day and joins Plecky and the Kabarlas. And Petra, who beat him by a day, for training, despite the bond withdrawal symptoms. After the third time he runs to puke into a trash can, Plecky sends him home. "You can't send me home," Yadomir tries, indignant. "It's my arena." "It's your father's arena," Plecky counters, with irritating accuracy. "And I don't think he wants it to smell like vomit. And since it's the arena I'm going to be spending the next 2 months in, neither do I." Yadomir grumbles, but goes. He spends the rest of the day holed up in his bedroom at home, texting all his friends here to see who's free. He's lost one of last year's friends with extras to marriage, which is typical, but he's still got Laura and Rania and Kim too. And it's not a one-way street. An old high school friend who used to be a casual lover got divorced during the season. "Back on the market," Standa says, winking at Yadomir over his beer that night. "And yes, that means for you too, Yarda, if you still want to." Well, Yadomir does. It's been a few years, but from what he remembers, Standa may not be particularly creative in bed, but he's patient and he pays attention. And it'll be nice to have a more convenient way to have sex with a man than taking the train to fucking Dresden. He doesn't want to seem too pleased for Standa's misfortune, though. Even an amicable divorce is a shitty experience. He offers his condolences, but Standa waves them away. "It sucks," he admits. "But we never bonded naturally, and when it got to the point where we either needed to do a planned bond or decide it wasn't going to happen, the answer was pretty clear. I'm grateful, really. If we'd bonded, we'd probably have had kids, and then it would have been a shit show. Now we can try again with other people. Good point, Yadamir says. Divorces with kids. Oh God, why are we talking about this? Standa says loudly. It's depressing. You won the Stanley Cup. Talk about that. In a lower voice, he says, eyes twinkling. And then take me home. It's a big bed for just me, Yarda. Yadamir smiles. Understood. It's as good as he remembers. And it's a very nice bed. Just like last summer, the bond withdrawal sickness and medication side effects taper off over the first week, and Yadamir's able to get back to training with the guys. They're all pleased to hear that Sydney will be joining them for a couple of weeks. František especially, and ominously, while reserving the right to bitch about having to speak English during a time of year when they're normally free to speak a real language with actual rules. The night before Sydney arrives, Yadamir can't sleep. It wakes Laura up and she prods him. What the fuck? She says groggily. Sorry, I'm nervous that my bondmate won't like my parents. Is too stupid to say aloud. Yadamir doesn't know what's wrong with him. Ugh, she rolls over. Stop it or get out. I need my rest. Yadamir ponders. After a minute, he leans over to kiss her shoulder. Sorry, I'll go. On his way to his parents' house, Yadamir thinks it over. It is stupid. Of course Sydney will like his parents. His parents are great. Everyone likes them. And of course his parents will like Sydney. Sydney is great. Sweet and considerate. Just the kind of person his parents will adore. So what the fuck was keeping him awake? He has the cabbie drop him off at the corner, a few houses down from his parents' place. Paranoid. Maybe, but it's a habit he got into 20 years ago, and it stood him in good stead as far as keeping his parents' address off the internet. As he walks up the street, he tries to unspool a little more of his own thoughts. It's not about liking, he decides. It's more than that. Liking he'll get, he's pretty sure of that. But he wants more than polite appreciation, more than, it was nice, and, oh, that's interesting. He wants Sydney to be impressed, enthralled. Wow, this is amazing, and Prague is so beautiful, and your parents are the best. He knows it's an imposition for Sydney to interrupt his own summer plans like this. He wants it to be worth it. If Sydney spends 2 weeks in Yadamir's home and doesn't take it to his heart, I'll be fucking crushed, Yadamir thinks, bemused. Huh. No guarantee, of course, that he'll get what he wants. Prague is beautiful, but Sydney has seen all the great cities of North America, and there's ample beauty there. Yadamir's parents are the best. But it probably doesn't really come through when you don't share enough of a language to have a fucking conversation. Yadamir thinks his home is amazing, but he can look at it objectively and say it's a large house with an unusually spacious yard in a suburb whose only claim to fame are a small crop of NHL players. Impressive to some, but not to Sydney. And an obscure but grim historical role as a stopover for women and children massacred by the Nazis. Sydney likes World War II history, but that's the kind of history nobody likes. Yadamir growls at himself as he unlocks the door and slips inside, quiet to avoid waking his parents. You're being stupid, he thinks. Sydney will think what he thinks. God knows he's easy to please. Your job is to get enough sleep that you're safe to drive in 5 hours when you're picking him up from the airport. With that, Yadamir makes a second attempt at falling asleep. Thankfully, this time it works. Sydney's flight arrives precisely on time, And apparently he's one of those people who sleeps like a baby on airplanes. He's disgustingly chipper as they chat about the flight and the latest free agency moves on the way to Yaromir's house. Yaromir has a chance to look him over as they drive, and he has to shake his head. You'd never know the kid just came off a grueling season of hockey barely a month ago. He's summer golden and already putting on muscle after the long playoff run carved him down. Yaromir is glad he's driving, or he'd be hard-pressed to keep his hands to himself. Once Yaromir is parked in the driveway at home, the nerves from last night come back, much to his irritation. He ignores them, taking Sydney's luggage despite his protests that he can carry it himself, and leading him through the front door, where Yaromir's mother is waiting. "Hello, Sydney," Yaromir's mother says, in careful English, with a warm smile. Then, to Yaromir's complete shock, Sydney says,
"Hello, Mrs. Yager. It's nice to meet you."
In Czech. As Yaromir stares, his mother smiles and responds,
"It's very nice to meet you too, Sydney. Thank you for welcoming me to your home,"
Sydney replies, awkwardly half-bowing. Still, inexplicably, in Czech. His accent is absolutely horrific, but the words are recognizable and the grammar is right.
"It's our pleasure,"
Yaromir's mother replies graciously.
"Any friend of Yarda's is welcome here, especially one with such excellent manners."
Sydney blushes. He mumbles at Yaromir in English.
I didn't get the last part. Sorry. I think it was your friends are welcome, right? That was the first part. But then the second..."
"She was saying you're very polite." Sydney's cheeks turn even redder.
"Oh, thank you,"
he tells Yaromir's mother.
"Yarda, you didn't tell me your friend was learning Czech."
"Well, it's a surprise to me, too,"
Yaromir says between his teeth. But then his father comes home, and they go through the whole dance of pleasantries again, after which his mother says to Sydney, slowly,
"Come with me. I'll show you your room."
"Thank you,"
Sydney says again, like a parrot, and then they're off up the stairs and down the hallway to the guest room. After Yaromir's mother leaves Sydney to unpack, Yaromir crosses his arms and stands in the doorway. "What the fuck?" Sydney doesn't try to play dumb.
"I'm still not any good at it," he mutters. He heaves his suitcase up onto the bed, but doesn't move it.
"You learned Czech," Yaromir says.
"Not very well," Sydney insists.
"How?"
"I got Rosetta Stone for my computer."
Yaromir presumes that some kind of language software. "So that's what you were doing on that fucking laptop all the time?"
"And Sykes helped me with..."
"You asked Petra for help?" That fucking stings. Sydney makes a face and explains,
"Sometimes he tried to prank me by teaching me dirty stuff, so I always checked with Denny."
"Denny, as in Denisa Sikora, Petra's wife?"
"Oh, this just gets better and better."
"I couldn't just take Sykes' word for it," Sydney says, as if that's what Yaromir's objecting to. "He thought it was funny to teach me stuff that would get me in trouble."
Yaromir stares at Sydney. Sydney fiddles with the zipper on his suitcase and avoids Yaromir's eyes.
"You learned Czech," Yaromir says flatly, trying to decide how fucking pissed off to be. "From your computer, with help from Petra and Denisa, and you kept it a secret from me because..."
"What?"
"Because
you thought it was dumb," Sydney says quietly.
Yaromir pauses, thrown.
"What?"
When I said I wanted to learn..." The harsh echo of Yadomir's own voice, remembered, travels through the bond. No words, just the tone of voice. Derisive, dismissive. "You laughed at me, so I didn't want to bother you."
Yaromir had forgotten about that, but Yeah, he fucking did. And yeah, that's a pretty good reason for Sydney not to have told Yadomir what he was up to. Fuck. But why do it at all? That's the part Yadomir doesn't get. Why go to the trouble of learning a whole new language for a fucking 2-week trip? Yadomir uncrosses his arms, sighing, and takes a seat at the foot of the bed. Kid, you really didn't have to do all this. You said that. There's a little bit of an edge in Sydney's voice. Well, I meant it, Yadomir says. So then why? I didn't want to embarrass you, Sydney says, louder than he meant to. He flinches at the sound of his own voice and flicks a glance at the doorway. Or make you babysit. Translate for me all the time. Keep following you around. You know, I didn't want to be annoying. Yadomir pinches the bridge of his nose and tries not to sigh a second time. Kid, it wouldn't be annoying, he says. You wouldn't be annoying. You're my guest, and you're only here for 2 weeks. It's not a big deal. Sydney shrugs. As far as Yadomir can read, exactly nothing that he said has changed the kid's mind about anything. It's not a big deal for me either, he says evenly. Everyone's always telling me to get another hobby, so now I have one. I don't mind doing the work. There's a part of Yadomir that wants to keep arguing, keep pushing the issue, but pushing for what? For the kid to acknowledge that this wasn't something Yadomir would ever have asked of him? He clearly knows that. For the kid to admit that it was a batshit crazy thing to do? That's obviously not going to happen. He's unrepentant. For the kid to apologize for doing a nice and thoughtful thing for Yadomir, even though Yadomir told him not to? Yadomir lets himself fall backward, back flat on the quilt, staring up at the staccato ceiling. Here, of all places, he ought to know what to do with a person being kinder to him than he deserves. He thinks about the hurt in the kid's voice. You laughed at me. Shit. I'm sorry I was an asshole about it, Yadomir says, craning his head to make eye contact with Sydney, who's still standing by the head of the bed, hovering over his suitcase. Sydney takes a breath, then holds it for a second before saying, I think you were trying to be nice, so I get it. There's a fucking indictment. What does it say about a person? Yadomir asks himself, when even their attempts to be kind leave bruises. But the answer isn't anything new. He knows who he is. The only thing to do about it is try harder. Thank you, he says, which he should have started with. He props himself up on his elbows. You didn't have to, but I'm glad you did it. Not because it would be a pain to translate for you. It wouldn't. Just, Yadomir shrugs. I was thinking last night that it was too bad you couldn't really have a conversation with my parents, get to know them, and now you can, so thank you. He reaches out a hand, and when Sydney takes it, tugs him down to sit beside Yadomir, no more hovering. From now on, let me help, okay? I want to. Okay, Sydney says, with a shy smile. I will, he's thinking, with a sort of refracted pleasure, happiness, but with a sense of having traveled some distance, like light bounced between mirrors on its way to the eye. That was what he wanted in the first place, Yadomir realizes. Something for us to do together. He probably thought it would be fun, and I acted like it was stupid. God, I am the king of shitheads. What's past is past. Nothing Yadomir can do about it now. And apparently, Sydney had no trouble finding another native speaker to help him out under the table. That little sneak. I'm going to kick Petra's ass, Yadomir mutters. Sydney knocks his knee into Yadomir's, still smiling. He thought it was really fun teaching me swear words. Yadomir rolls his eyes. I'm sure he did. He stands up. Let me show you around. The house is nothing special, but the yard is amazing, Yadomir almost says. And it is, but it feels strange all of a sudden. There's a lot of trees, he finishes lamely. God, what the fuck is wrong with him? He has every intention of following through on showing Sydney the house and the yard, but as soon as they run into his mother, she takes over the tour. Always careful to speak slowly and use simple words that Sydney is likely to know. The house started as a one-story, two-bedroom, but his grandparents and then his parents built additions onto it over time, according to the tastes of the day and the inhabitants. And now it's a two-story, four-bedroom that doubles as the National Museum of Czech wallpaper through the decades, or so he jokes to Sydney. I think the wallpaper is very nice, Sydney says, sucking up to Yadomir's mother effortlessly and earning an approving smile. Yadomir's parents and grandparents expanded the yard, too, as best they could, buying up whole or partial adjoining lots. What they've ended up with is a piece of land that's about as large as a piece of aperturant land can get before you have to stop calling it a yard and start calling it the grounds. The backyard portion of it doesn't get mowed very often, so it looks a little wild. But there's an order to everything, ordained before Yadomir was born, and scrupulously observed. Up against the house, or in containers on the deck, are the vegetables and herbs. Yadomir's mother names them for Sydney as she walks through them, touching the blushing cherry tomatoes with the tip of her finger, letting her hands brush through the feathery fronds of dill. Farther out are the raised beds, where Sydney exclaims over the fruits, garnet spears of rhubarb, prickly stems with the first juicy raspberries, rangy bushes of sour green gooseberries, and all the rest. May I have a raspberry? He asks, with a longing stare. Yadomir should have known he couldn't resist, with that sweet tooth of his. Of course, his mother replies, plainly charmed. Have all you want. That's what they're there for. I won't take too many, Sydney demurs. He plucks a raspberry off the cane and eats it. Then a second one. Then a third, marveling. These are so much better than the ones at the store. Of course they are. If they weren't, why would anyone bother growing them? She says. But Yadomir can tell she's pleased. Sydney goes through another handful of berries as they walk over to the fence, so his mother can show off the grapevines. For jelly, she explains. And then they turn to the heart of the land, the orchard. Wow, Sydney says, staring at the trees. I don't really know what I'm looking at, but it's beautiful. Through the bond, Yadomir can read something soft and fragrant, unfolding in Sydney's mind, tender as an apple blossom. Something new. Yadomir exhales. He hadn't even known he was holding his breath. These are our fruit trees, his mother says. She guides Sydney through the rows, planted in bearing order. Cherries, apricots, peaches, plums, early apples, crab apples, late apples. Sydney approaches the trees in a sweetly tactile way. He pinches the ripe red cherries lightly, testing the tension of their gleaming skin, and brushes his fingertips over the soft fuzz of the pale, immature peaches, still a week or two from picking. It must take a lot of work to care for these, he says softly, with respect.
It is,
Yadomir's mother replies with a smile once Yadomir translates. Sydney's Czech grammar was not quite up to conveying the thought.
But it is happy work. It is hard to feel sad or angry or hopeless when you are busy with the good work of making things grow.
That Sounds really wonderful, Sydney says, with a soft, tender pulse of yearning, like a heartbeat, echoing through the bond. Yadomir sets his hand on the sturdy trunk of an apple tree, just for a moment, taking in the scene. I'll put in some trees, in Pittsburgh, he decides. Something for the kid to remember him by. Something for Sydney's children to play hide-and-seek in someday. The next day, Yadomir takes Sydney to the arena where the Knights play and where his group trains over the summer. As they get out of the car, Sydney lights up. You train here? He says, almost glowing. This is so great, Yadomir. You're so lucky. He's completely sincere, which Yadomir does not understand. Yadomir loves this place, sure, because it's his, but it's just a small arena for a lower-tier team miles and millions away from the NHL. Nothing for Sydney to get so excited over. But when Yadomir tries to make light of it, cracking jokes about the peeling paint and doors that won't latch, Sydney's not having any of it. Places like this, that's where I grew up, he says firmly. And it's true that he feels purely and instantly at home when they walk in the doors. Yadomir can read that loud and clear. This is where hockey really lives. This is where the soul of the game is, he thinks. Another one of those unexpected and uncharacteristic poetic moments. Because Yadomir is a shit, of course, he nudges Sydney with his elbow and says, say that out loud. Say, Sydney blushes and ducks his head. It's cheesy, no, he mutters. The soul of the game, Yadomir recites grandly. Fuck off, Sydney says, trying to hide his grin. Yadomir likes him so fucking much, and that's a fact. When they walk into the weight room, František is instantly all over Sydney. Sydney Crosby, Stanley Cup hero, teach me be like you, teach me all your secrets. Sydney shoots Yadomir a, help, help, look. Ignore him, Tom says easily as he walks towards them. It's what the rest of us do. Tomasz Kaberle, he adds, holding out his hand. I know who you are, Sydney says, politely appalled. Tom just laughs. Well, I'm glad, but if we meet before, like, introduced, you say? I don't remember. So I'm Tomasz Kaberle. Call me Tom. The kid takes his hand, blushing a little. Sid, sorry. I miss so much hear Canadians say sorry, František says dreamily. Sydney takes Tom's advice and ignores him. Plecky and the new additions, Pavelets and Dvorak, introduce themselves as well. Petra inserts himself at the end of the handshake line and holds out his hand, solemnly, saying, Petra Sikora, please, call me Sykes. So good to meet you. Such honor. Sydney glares at him. Oh my God, stop. But then, with a glance at Yadomir and a flash of mischief too strong for his shields to contain, Petra says again, in Czech this time,
Petra Sikora, very nice to meet you.
And Sydney rolls his eyes and replies in the same language.
I said stop say that, Sykes. Fuck off.
Everyone's head swivels to stare at Sydney. Sydney blinks. Say something in Czech, František urges. Sydney blushes. I did. Something else. Yadomir can read how flustered Sydney is. But he pulls himself together, enough to say,
Praha is very beautiful. Okay, that was coached,
Plecky declares. Dvorak scowls.
Why would he have to be coached to say that Praha is beautiful? Are you saying it's not beautiful? Focus, please,
Tom says wearily, Turning to Sydney, he says slowly,
"Would you like us to speak Czech with you, so you can practice?"
Sydney's first thought, which comes through the bond at the volume of a goal horn, is, "No, it's killing me to be shitty at something I care about in front of strangers. I would really like to go back to speaking English, which I don't suck at, please. Thank you for asking."
But the kid didn't get to where he is by listening to those second thoughts. Instead, he takes a deep breath and says,
"Yes, I want that. Thank you. That is very nice you say."
Tom nods.
"It's our pleasure. You can always ask if you don't know what a word means or we go too fast. Thank you,"
Sydney says, again thinking, "Wow, he's so nice."
Which is fair. And then,
"How are he and František brothers?"
Which is also fair and makes Jaromír laugh. Later, Petra saunters up to Jaromír while he's on the exercise bike and raises an eyebrow. "You weren't surprised," he says. "So you already knew."
"I did," Jaromír replies. "No fucking thanks to you."
Petra is unrepentant. "He said you were being a dick about it, Jarda. And although normally I would be skeptical..."
"Would you?" Jaromír mutters.
"You are never a bigger asshole than when someone is trying to do something nice for you. So that checked out."
Jaromír takes back all the warm thoughts he's ever had about how nice it is to be known. It is shit to be known. Who gave Petra permission to describe him so accurately? He sighs.
"You could have told me," he says. Petra shakes his head. "He asked me not to."
"You could have told me anyway."
"No, I couldn't," Petra says, narrowing his eyes. "When my 5-year-old asks me to keep a secret from Denny, that's meaningless, because it's my job to do what I think is best for him, not what he thinks is best. But Sid's not a 5-year-old, Jarda. If he tells me what he wants, I have to take him seriously." It pains Jaromír deeply to admit that Petra has a point. But Petra has a point. And Jaromir's a big enough person to admit it.
"Still, I would have helped him," Jaromír whines.
He can admit that too. He's whining.
"You probably would have," Petra agrees easily. "But next time, maybe actually offer that help instead of telling him it's hopeless."
Fuck. Jaromír really wants to be pissed off at Petra, but he's fighting this sneaking suspicion that he has no right to feel that way. It makes him grumpy, which only pisses him off more. He's an old man, but he's too young to be grumpy. He stands by that.
After practice, they get dinner with the guys, and then Jaromír takes off with Sydney for the Dvorak Festival. He'd asked Ronja what program she'd recommend this week, and she'd pitched him on tonight's greatest hits lineup, which should be easy for Sydney to digest. It's stuff Jaromír has heard before, thanks to Ronja's influence. Old chestnuts that show up on programs all the time, like Ride of the Valkyries. But it's played well, and he can tell Sydney's enjoying it, which is what matters. Afterward, Jaromír takes Sydney backstage to meet up with Ronja. She's always radiant after a good performance, her perfume pleasantly intense after the heat of the stage lights. She kisses him on the lips and grins as she steps back.
"You like it?" she asks.
"Of course."
"Good, and you must be Sydney," she says, turning to offer the kid her hand. "I'm Ronja."
"Nice to meet you," Sydney says automatically, shaking hands.
"Did you like the concert?"
Ronja asks him, cocking her head to the side.
"I know Jaromír had to drag you."
Sydney shoots Jaromír a wounded look, blushing.
No, I really liked it. There was no dragging."
Good, Ronja says, pleased. "I'm glad. You play hockey with Jaromír?" One of the many things Jaromír likes about Ronja is that she has zero awareness of any hockey not played by the Finnish men's or women's national teams, and only limited awareness of even that. Yeah, Sydney replies, unbothered by not being recognized. I'm training with him here for a couple of weeks. Oh, yeah? What's that training like? From there on, Jaromir's presence is superfluous. Ronja and Sydney are the kind of people who could trade workout tips and dissect the latest exercise science all night. After drinks, lemonade for Jaromir since he's driving, he takes Sydney back to the house. It becomes apparent to him in the car that something's bothering Sydney. In fact, now that he thinks about it, he realizes something has been bothering Sydney quietly below the surface since the concert. Something on your mind? He asks, pulling into the driveway. Sydney climbs out of the car and walks around to Jaromir's side before asking, Is Ronja your girlfriend? Jaromir blinks. No, I don't have girlfriends. Oh, but she kissed you on the lips. Oh, no, it's not like that. Ronja is just, she's like you. A friend who I fuck. Jaromir pulls out his keys and unlocks the side door, ushering Sydney through before relocking it behind them. As he does, he can feel Sydney absorbing what he said, like ink soaking into blotting paper. Tossing his keys into the basket by the door, Jaromir asks, Did you have fun?
Fucking you?
The kid thinks, incredulous, before snapping into focus. At the concert, right. Yeah, it was nice. I had a nice time. He presses his lips together for a second, then says softly, I like being your friend. Teasing, Jaromir says. Because I take you to nice places. Sydney shrugs. That's one reason. Through the bond, Jaromir can read that ink bleed has stopped, its edges set and firm on the paper. He can't quite make out its shape. Have a good night, Sydney says, quiet. Then he turns and climbs the stairs. They have training the next day, but it occurs to Jaromir that they're going to have some days off while Sydney's here, and the kid will probably have opinions about how he'd like to spend them. In the car on the way back from the arena, he asks, So, what do you want to do while you're here? Whatever it is the kid wants, he's embarrassed about it. Jaromir can tell right away. Just boring stuff, he mumbles. Jaromir sighs. Kid, what do you want to do? The normal tourist stuff, Sydney says. He's actually squirming in his seat. I'm sure you... What, like the castle? Yeah. Are you saying Prague Castle is boring? Jaromir teases. Sydney, flustered, stammers. What? No, of course. Good. So we'll go to the castle, Jaromir says. There, wasn't that easy? Let me make some calls. Why would you have to make... Oh, I don't want any fuss or attention, Sydney says, ducking his head. Jaromir smirks. What do you think we're going to do? Just march up to the gates with everybody else? His reading informs him that, yes, that's exactly what Sydney thought. No fucking way, says Jaromir. I'm not
well known here.
Maybe not. Although Jaromir's guessing the kid would get recognized pretty fast, too. But I am. We wouldn't get past the gate. It would be a mob. People wanting autographs. Oh, you don't have to come with me, Sydney says in a rush. Oh, well, that's true. Still, it leaves Jaromir feeling wrong-footed. Right, he says. Sorry, I shouldn't have assumed. It would be easier without me, yes, if what you... Then his brain catches up with his ears. Wait. I know I don't have to. He purses his lips and resists the urge to jab Sydney in the arm with his finger. He's driving. He needs his hands on the wheel. You're not annoying. You're my guest. Now, do you actually want to go without me, or are you just... I don't want to be a pain, Sydney says.
But of course I want to go with you.
At the next stoplight, Yadomir stares him down.
I want to go with you, Sydney mumbles.
What was that? He heard. He's just being an asshole. Loudly, Sydney says, Oh my god, I want to go see the castle with you. Stop being a dick. Yadomir grins. Good.
That night, Yadomir pulls his mother aside and asks her to take Sydney around Praha tomorrow while he and his father are working at the arena.
What does he want to see? She asks.
Yadomir tells her. The biggest stuff. The bridge, the square, the museums. But not the castle. I'm taking him there tomorrow night. As an afterthought, he adds, Sydney thinks it's embarrassing to want to see popular stuff. She rolls her eyes.
Everything in Praha that is popular because it's good, she says with dignity. We don't have those horrible wax museums here.
Mamka still hasn't recovered from her first and only encounter with Madame Tussauds.
Very true, Yadomir agrees.
During a break between meetings, Yadomir pulls some strings and arranges for a private after-hours tour of Prague Castle that night, inviting Kim too as well, since she likes that kind of thing. He has a hunch she and Sydney will get along well, because Kim too, despite being physically nothing like Colby Armstrong, has the same bulldozer effect in social situations, requiring nothing from her companions besides an appreciative audience for her performance of herself. His hunch is correct. Over dinner, Kim too does a Google image search on Sydney and proceeds to roast his fashion choices for the whole meal, which Sydney loves, since there's nothing he enjoys more than being the butt of affectionate chirping. On the tour, she latches onto his arm as if Yadomir isn't even there and prods Sydney to ask the tour guide his questions.
There's no such thing as a stupid question, she says brightly at the beginning,
and then, of course, tells Sydney that at least a quarter of his questions are ridiculous.
You say no stupid questions,
he mutters, blushing. Kim, too, shakes her head and replies, shameless.
You must have misunderstood me, Sydney. Your check needs work.
It's the most fun Yadomir's had all summer. On Sunday morning, Yadomir's parents go to church, as they do every Sunday. They ask Sydney if he'd like to come along, and Sydney throws Yadomir a look of mute confusion.
No, thank you, Yadomir answers on his behalf. And Yadomir's parents nod with good grace.
They'd asked Yadomir, too, on his first Sunday home, like they always do. He said no, like he always does. He knows it bothers them, and he feels like shit about it. It would be such an easy thing to do to please them. But he's not going to get their hopes up. Going to Mass is one thing, believing is another. He can walk in the doors, stand, sit, kneel, sing and listen, eat and drink. But he can't believe that it's for him. He can't believe that it changes anything. Guilty or not, though, he's not going to let this window of opportunity, 2 hours with his parents out of the house, pass them by. As soon as he sees their car head down the driveway, he snags Sydney's wrist and pulls him in for a kiss.
It doesn't go as planned.
Sydney flinches back so hard that his back hits the opposite wall of the hallway, and he stares at Yadomir, plainly aghast.
This is your parents' house, he hisses.
Yeah, Yadomir says patiently, but they're not here, so...
They could come back,
Yadomir laughs. Trust me, I know exactly how long Mass lasts.
We're not going to have sex in your parents' house while they're at church, Sydney pronounces, scandalized.
Would you rather have sex in my parents' house while they're still here? Yadomir asks with amusement.
How are you so casual about this? Sydney is thinking, with a thrum of anxiety that sets Yaromir's teeth on edge.
He's not joking, even, I think. What if they caught us?
Yaromir kind of wants to roll his eyes, but he can tell that, as dumb as it seems to him, the kid is actually freaking out. So he tries to figure out why without being a dick.
What's bugging you about this? He asks, as gently as he can. People get caught having sex by their parents all the time. It's practically
Not men,
Sydney thinks, like the fall of an axe.
Having sex with men.
Oh, Yaromir says softly. Kid, come here. I promise not to try anything, he amends when Sydney shows no inclination to come closer.
He feels like a child again, watching the rabbits in the yard watching him, trying not to move too fast and scare them away. After Sydney shuffles close enough for Yaromir to wrap an arm around his shoulders, Yaromir says, in a low voice, There you go. Now, here's the thing. My parents don't care about that.
Your parents don't care? Sydney repeats, and Yaromir can read, under his shock, a delicate vulnerability.
The idea that someone's parents could just not care that their son, their hockey player son, is gay, is wrecking him.
They don't care, Yaromir says firmly. I mean, they don't want the details, but they don't want the details about the women I sleep with either. Mostly they wish I'd get married, but they know that's not for me.
Sydney takes a slow inhale and exhale.
Maybe I shouldn't be so surprised, he says, very quiet. I know some people just don't, like Flower or Sykes and Denny. He pauses, and Yaromir lets him get his thoughts in order. I guess I would have thought it would be harder to not care when it's your son, Sydney concludes, looking up at him.
Huh. Yaromir squeezes the arm he has around Sydney's shoulders, keeping him close. After a moment of reflection, he shakes his head.
No. No? It should be easier to care when it's not your son, Yaromir says. Because some stranger, you don't care whether they're happy. But your child, you should want them happy.
He shrugs. That's what my parents want, anyway.
Sydney absorbs that. After a second, he twitches away from Yaromir, and Yaromir lets him go.
Sydney doesn't go far, though. Just a few feet down the hall to the landing. He sits on the top step and wraps his arms around his shins.
My dad is a good dad, he says quietly. He's looking at his knees.
Yaromir considers that statement. Ultimately, he decides it's not for him to agree or disagree. He just leaves it there.
Sydney turns his head to look back at Yaromir. Yaromir joins him on the step so he doesn't have to crane his neck. He can tell the kid has a question.
Ask, he says. Do you think they would not care about me, too?
Sydney says, small.
Yaromir must not be able to conceal his surprise. Sydney flushes pink and explains.
They remind me of Sykes and Denny a lot. Just nice, or more than nice. Kind. I feel like, I don't know, it was okay telling Sykes and Denny. It was
more than okay. It felt...
There's no word or phrase that follows up on that. Just the secondhand sensation of taking a breath of clear air after hours of breathing cigarette smoke.
Yes, Yaromir says, past an ache in his chest.
Sydney's known his parents for a handful of days, and already he wants them to know him, really know him. Already he feels the lack of that true knowledge as a loss.
They would be great about it if you told them, I promise you.
Sydney nods, a little smile, hopeful, hovers at the corners of his mouth. Then Yaromir remembers. Fuck, he says. Shit, I'm sorry. I told them last year, not on purpose. Just telling them about shit your father said. I wasn't thinking then that you'd actually meet them ever. I just... Shit, I'm so sorry. It's okay, Sydney says. He means it, too, which Yaromir doesn't deserve. It's really... He smiles, looking at nothing in particular. So I guess I know they don't care.
Yeah, that's true.
Sydney nods, still smiling. He leans against Yaromir's shoulder for a second, and Yaromir wonders how he finds it so easy to forgive. If that's something Yaromir could learn. When Yaromir gets to his feet, the sun is in his eyes, and he winces away. So when you were picturing this trip, he asks, bemused, you were thinking you'd be here for 2 weeks and we just wouldn't fuck? I wasn't thinking about that, Sydney says primly. That's a lie, Yaromir says, delighted. Sydney colors. Don't you have an apartment? He demands. Don't you have it for this whole reason? So you can have sex with people there? That is true, and Yaromir admits as much. Right, Sydney says, scooting around to squint up at Yaromir. That's where you fuck everybody else. I don't know why you're so hot to do me in your childhood home. Yaromir laughs. Fair enough. But for that exact reason, you know if we spend the night in the apartment, my parents are gonna know why. Sydney pauses, caught out. Yaromir can tell he hadn't thought of that. Then, all of a sudden, he ducks his head and looks at Yaromir with mischief in his eyes. Hardly believing his own daring, pink at the tops of his cheeks, Sydney says, "Who said anything about staying the night?" His voice is low, promising. Yaromir wants to give the kid a fucking medal and a blowjob. Both. That's a very good point, he says, draping himself over Sydney's back because he can. Because the heat of his body feels so fucking good. All right, next day off, apartment, you and me. You and me, Sydney echoes with a tiny grin. They fall into a rhythm with shocking ease. Training with the guys most days, sightseeing and orgasms on days off, evenings spent at the house in deference to Sydney's disinterest in nightlife. Since they're around in the evenings, they get put to work dealing with each day's harvest of fruit, alongside Yaromir's parents. Sydney loves it, loves working with his hands, loves eating things made with fruit he picked with his own hands, seeing the whole process unfold before him, compassed from branch to fork. On Sydney's last day, the Kladno and adjacent Czechs are nice enough to host a barbecue to celebrate Yaromir and Petra and Sydney's cup win, and to say farewell to Sydney. At the party, Yaromir ends up appropriated by an imperious blonde who sits on his lap without so much as a hello. By his estimate, she's probably about 3 years old. Who's your tata? He asks her, when she shows no sign of moving from her perch. She looks at him like,
what adult?
Tata is tata. Okay, fair. Is your tata tall? He was about to say, but most of the guys here are NHL players. They're all tall. What's your last name? Plekanec. That's a relief. If she was one of František's brood, Yaromir would have to flee for the border. Those children are demons. The girl demands that he pick her up, and then declares she's hungry. So Yaromir ends up at the food table, where he discovers that, although she insists that she is hungry, very hungry, she doesn't actually want to eat anything. Sausage? No! Salad? No! Coleslaw? Her chin wobbles, and one big fat tear drips down her face. So Yaromir is a monster, basically. He sighs. What do you want to eat? Roll. Well, okay. They have rolls. He grabs one for her. What do you want on it? She gives him the what adult look again. I want roll. Yaromir sighs, louder this time. This is not a well-balanced meal, he tells her. You need some protein, some vitamins. She ignores him. Can I put some butter on it?
At least you'll get some more calories then. After lengthy consideration, she deigns to nod.
Some jam? Yaromir asks, pushing his luck. Her chin wobbles again. No jam! He takes the girl and her buttered jamless roll back to his seat, where Sydney very much disapproves of the situation.
I tried to get her to eat some vegetables, okay?
Yaromir says, irked. She started to cry. I'm not going to make her cry over vegetables. Sydney crouches down to the girl's eye level.
You don't like any vegetables? He asks gently, in check.
She considers.
Special lily vegetables, she allows.
What kind of vegetables are those?
Sydney, it turns out, is not exempt from the what adult look.
Special lily vegetables, she says slowly, as you do when speaking with someone very stupid.
Yaromir reclaims the conversational steering wheel. When we were over at the table, were there any of your lily vegetables there?
No.
Where are your lily vegetables?
Mamka has them.
Yaromir exhales in relief. That could have been much harder. And stands, propping Lily on his hip. Let's go find your Mamka, then, Your Highness.
Up!
She demands. Yaromir lifts an eyebrow. You're up already.
Up!
She repeats, poking his shoulder. Absolutely not, Yaromir says, but only for the principle of the thing.
He knows where this is going.
With Lily on his shoulders, he navigates through the crowd to find Plecky's wife, who hands him a zip-top baggie of cherry tomatoes. Do you want me to take her? She asks. Yaromir shakes his head. We're doing fine. Back at Yaromir's seat, Lily settles herself on Yaromir's knee and occupies herself with the lily vegetables while Yaromir chats with other partygoers. Jakob runs up and wants to play with Lily, which is fine, but she's a lot smaller than you, Yaromir cautions. So you have to be careful. Very gentle, okay? And if she can't keep up with you, you can't just leave her somewhere. Bring her back if you're done playing. Promise, Kubik?
I promise,
Jakob says, taking Lily's hand with exaggerated care. Good, Yaromir says, nodding. When that conversation is over, he looks up to find Plecky staring at him.
How are you so good with them?
Plecky asks. Yaromir shrugs. Just practice. Plecky narrows his eyes.
You're an only child.
Yeah, but kids always seem to find me at stuff like this, so...
I wonder why,
Plecky says, studying Yaromir so intently that Yaromir swipes at his face with his napkin, wondering if he's got sauce on it or something. The napkin comes away clean, though. Other people's kids love me, Yaromir says, shrugging again. It's a mystery.
Other people's kids love you,
Plecky says, slow. Yaromir laughs. They can't tell what a crusty old man I am, I guess. Or maybe they can. I don't know, Plecky. Kids are crazy. You know that.
Kids are crazy,
Plecky says, again with that weird emphasis. He scrutinizes Yaromir for a moment, more, then shakes his head.
Well, anyway, he says,
You can keep her if you ask nicely, but I warn you, she's a very picky eater.
I noticed, Yadomir says dryly. And no, she's all yours.
Yadomir looks around the barbecue and feels joy fill him up, squeezing into the gaps between his ribs, soaking into his skin from the inside out. This is something he never thought he'd have. His parents are here, and Sydney, and his friends and countrymen, people who would have had every right to write him off after the shit he'd done on his way to rock bottom, and the shit he hadn't done on his way back up, focused on his own recovery to the point of obsession, blocking out everything and everyone else. Necessary, and he doesn't regret it, but it didn't make his friends feel valued, and he never explained the why of it to any of them. But they've made room for him anyway, all over again. Made room for Sydney, too. Welcomed him and taught him and poked fun at him in gentle, slow check, using common words so he'd know right away that he was being invited in on the joke. They're good. Deeply good. Even František is good, despite his shitty ethics. Yadomir doesn't deserve them. He never has. But his life has been, with one catastrophic exception, one long parade of people who've been too good to love him and done it anyway. If he told his mother about it, she'd see God's hand in it. Yadomir sees only an obligation, a duty to balance the scales, to strive for goodness himself, even though it doesn't come naturally, even though he knows he'll miss the mark. His parents bundle Sydney off with luggage stuffed with sweets and make him promise to come back next summer. What a nice young man, Yadomir's mother says approvingly, as they drive away from the airport. It was so lovely to have him visit. She tips her head to smile at Yadomir. Almost lovely enough to make up for losing you early, she says. Her hand is on Yadomir's arm, skin to skin, so there's no ambiguity about the fact that she's sincere. They don't want to miss out on any more of his summer than necessary, but not actually upset. You'll get me year-round soon enough, Yadomir promises. His father shakes his head, half-smiling. Don't say that, Yarda. You're too strong to be old so soon. We'll see. Yadomir replies, secretly pleased. 2 weeks earlier than he normally would, Yadomir boards a plane to North America, but not bound for any NHL city. In Halifax, Sydney picks him up, tan and glowing with summer sun, and drives him to a tidy, nondescript house by a lake. Yours? Yadomir asks, climbing out of the car. Very cute. You like it? The kid's fishing for compliments, but Yadomir doesn't call him on it. Lots of space, he remarks as he follows Sydney inside. Follows Sydney right up to the wall of the entryway and then against it, pressed close, close enough to count the kid's eyelashes. He adds in a murmur, lots of privacy. Sydney licks his lips. Yadomir can't help tracking the movement with his gaze. I haven't had much of a chance to try out that privacy. Good thing I'm here then, Sprawled out naked over the formerly crisp white sheets, they had eventually made it to the bed. Yadomir turns his head to the side and studies the kid's profile. How'd the move go? Sydney smiles, albeit with a rueful edge. My dad's still mad I moved out, but... it's good. It's been really good. Mad is not how Yadomir would characterize what he read from Sydney's father when they were discussing Sydney's plans to buy a house. But Yadomir doesn't see what purpose would be served by telling the kid, actually, you hurt his feelings. Instead, he changes the subject. So, what's the Prague Castle of Cole Harbor? He asks, deadpan. Sydney makes a face at him. Then, in an eye blink, he smiles, sweet and open. Taylor is. Ha! Yadomir grins. That's right. That's exactly right. So we're gonna hang out with her a lot. Sounds good to me. The 2 weeks go by slow as honey. Lots of training, lots of the promised hanging out with Taylor, lots of lounging around by the lake and doing nothing. On the day he arrives, Sydney passes along a blanket invitation to dinner with his parents for the whole 2 weeks. He tells Yadomir that it's fine if he doesn't want to go, but Yadomir doesn't feel he can politely refuse across the board. 3 times, he tells Sydney, and he spaces them out as best he can, to give himself time to recover in between. After the first dinner, though, Yadomir finds himself extremely unsettled. Sprawled across the kid's bed while he undresses, Yadomir remarks slowly, "Your father is being very nice to me." Against his will, it comes out sounding like a complaint. "Do you know what that's about?" Sydney shakes his head. He balls up the day's clothes and shoots them at the laundry hamper, overhand, like a basketball. "No idea. I mean, you're not crazy. I noticed that, too. But I don't know what explains it." It's stupid, probably, to hope that Sydney's father has had a change of heart about his son's sexual orientation. But Yadomir floats the idea anyway, in a spirit of optimism. Sydney grimaces, and a rubber band snap of rejection cracks through the bond. "I know, I wish. It's gotten even worse, maybe, this summer." "Worse?" Yadomir asks, incredulous. He started getting..." Sydney sighs and flicks off the overhead light. "Suspicious of my friends," he says, climbing into bed and sitting up against the headboard. "My friends here, even guys I've known since I was a little kid, just like watching them too much. I don't know." Frustration seeps through the bond, woody as rosemary. It's hard to explain, but you can tell, I can tell, what he's doing, and it sucks. "You're not wrong, he is being nice to you, but..." Sydney shrugs. "Not because he's magically accepted me being gay. He hasn't. I'm glad, though, that he's not picking at you like before." "Me too," Yadomir says. But he's not actually sure he is glad. It was easier, in a way, when Mr. Crosby was antagonizing him, and Yadomir could slap him down verbally and talk circles around him and feel smug as fuck about it. A new future where Mr. Crosby is perfectly cordial to him while nevertheless waging a campaign to crush all the non-hockey-related happiness out of his own son's life? Yadomir barely suppresses a shudder. "Never mind," he thinks, although it's too late now. "I changed my mind. Go back to hating my guts, please." I'm sorry," Sydney says abruptly. Puzzled, Yadomir asks, "For what?" As they've just established, Sydney's father is not being shitty to Yadomir for once. For you being stuck here for 2 weeks," Sydney says, looking down at his hands in his lap. "I feel so... Praha is so cool. And then here you are in Cole Harbor, which is... I love it, but I know there's nothing to do, and my house is boring and basically has nothing in it. And your parents and friends were so awesome, and I've got my dad..." About whom nothing more needs to be said, they both silently agree. "And my mom, who is... terrifying," Yadomir mentally supplies. "Hard to get to know," Sydney says, which Yadomir can't argue with. "I mean, I said Taylor was the number one selling point of Cole Harbor, and honestly, she's pretty much the only selling point of Cole Harbor." He smooths the blanket over his knees, avoiding Yadomir's gaze. "That hadn't really hit home with me when I invited you." "I'm sorry," he whispers through the bond. Yadromir rolls onto his side and pokes Sydney in the thigh until the kid makes an annoyed noise and turns to face him. Kid, this is nice, Yadromir tells him. He knows better than to drop his shields by now, but he tries to keep his face as open as possible. It's nice to get away. It's nice to hang out with your sister. It's nice to sit by the lake. It's nice to be here with you. I'm where I want to be, okay? I don't need castles or mountains or festivals. Yadromir gives it another moment of thought and adds, and of course a house you bought a month ago isn't going to rise to the level of the National Museum of Czech wallpaper through the decades. Nothing can. Sydney laughs, a little unwillingly. Your parents' house is so great. It's had 100 years to get that way, Yadromir points out. You've had a month. Cut yourself some slack. Yeah, okay. Sydney rubs a hand over his chin, smiling a bit. Okay. Also, yesterday I got robbed point blank by a 12-year-old goalie who called me a fossil, which you had to explain to me. Sydney bursts out laughing, eyes creased, starting to tip sideways. He's so cute. Which definitely doesn't happen in Klodno, so don't be so down on Coal Harbor. The kid's down on his side now, still snickering a little at Yadromir's expense, nestled in the sheets, peeking up at Yadromir with those big hazel eyes. Coal Harbor has its charms, Yadromir concludes. For some reason, he's short of breath, like he was the one who was just laughing. It does, Sydney says, smiling. I'm glad you see them, too. He flops onto his back then and lets out a long, luxurious sigh. But soon, back to Pittsburgh, he thinks. The bond a cocktail of nerves, excitement, and fluttering joy. Yeah, Yadromir says. Back to Pittsburgh. And for the first time in a long time, his heart, too, turns toward the city where it all started, like a flower turning toward the sun.